Welcome to Charting the Course, a podcast from Full Sail Capital, dedicated to providing you with insights, assurance, and confidence to grow and manage generational wealth. Full Sail Capital is a fiduciary registered investment advisor managing more than $1 billion with a focus on integrity, competency, and transparency.
My guest today is Stacy Murray. Stacy is a wealth management advisor and a CPA with a background at one of the big four accounting firms. In this episode, we talk about Roth conversions, which are one of the more nuanced tax strategies available to investors. Stacy, thanks for coming by today. So we're just going to jump right into it, and we're going to talk about Roth conversion strategies today. And let's assume you have an educated investor who just kind of understands the IRA, 401k, Roth traditional kind of quad chart with contribution limits, tax advantages, et cetera. So I guess my first question is kind of cheating, and it's, what is the question where Roth conversion is the right answer to it, if that makes sense?
Yeah, thanks, Dexter, for having me today. I think it depends, right? And so I think there's a lot of scenarios that go into it. I think people are very quick to say, yeah, Roth conversion makes sense for me. I'm going to do it. Here's why. And they look at one thing and not the entire total package. So there's a lot of things to consider, but with the Roth conversion, I think if really when it makes sense is if people are trying to use it for wealth transfers, because there's so many positives with the Roth versus compared to like a traditional IRA. So let's talk about that real quick. So the advantages of a Roth, you are able to take the money that you've put in after tax dollars. So you've put it in after tax dollars. So you've paid Uncle Sam at the beginning of your investment period. You use that money then to invest, and any money that you've earned on that, you're able to withdraw it tax-free.
So that is the tax-free growth.
Correct.
Okay.
Tax-free growth. So that's a huge strategy. There are also with Roths are no required minimum distributions. When you hit 72, you don't have to start withdrawing, where when you have a traditional, you have to start withdrawing. So that's another big piece that you want to look at. You also want to look at what are you going to do when you pass away and your inheritance and all of those things. And so if your goal is to leave your children with money, it's perfect to be able to leave them with money that's after tax dollars, right? That they're not going to inherit in a traditional IRA and have to pay taxes.
And especially with the Secure Act changing the stretch IRA provision with the traditional, all the money has to be withdrawn within 10 years. Is that correct there?
That's correct. Unless it's your spouse. If it's your spouse, no change. But yes, if it is your kid or a designated beneficiary, it's within 10 years. They have to deplete it. And so if you think about it, when you're thinking, you know, in a perfect world, a lot of generational wealth transfers to the children between 40 and 50, right?
Yep.
That's going to be probably their highest earning years. And so you're transferring wealth to them when they're 40 or 50, and you're doing it one of their highest tax brackets versus giving it to them after tax dollars. So I think wealth transfer is a perfect scenario to think through. And especially if you have excess money today and you're worried about transferring it to your children, go ahead and pay the taxes for them, right?
Yep.
I would love for my mom and dad to pay my taxes, right?
Absolutely. That'd be fantastic.
It'd be great. It'd be perfect. So I think that that's a great one. I think another one is nobody knows where taxes are going to go, right? Are they going to go higher? Are they going to go lower? They're probably going to go higher with the Tax Cut and Jobs Act that was passed. Taxes are at an all-time low right now for high earning income families. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's one thing to think through. One of the things that I've used as a statistic that I really like is a married couple earning $300,000 prior to the Tax Cut and Jobs Act was paying taxes at 33%. After the Jobs Act has been passed, they're now paying taxes at 24%.
Oh,
wow. So at some point, that's going to expire in 2025. And so that's something you've really got to consider. And I think that's something that is feasible for people to digest.
And then speak a little bit to how the traditional withdrawals are taxed then, if you would.
So your traditional withdrawals. So again,
assuming that they are at least 70 and a half and it's not an early one subject to any kind of penalties.
Right. And it's 72 now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That changed. So it's 72. So again, traditional is you've put the money in before taxes. So Uncle Sam hasn't earned any taxes on this money. You're able to put in $6,000 a year into a traditional IRA. And again, assuming you're not phased out. And so that's why you definitely want to talk to your tax professional, your CPA, to make sure you're not phased out. But you can put $6,000 in pre-tax dollars that then reduces your AGI for your tax return. You earn money on that. So it earns money throughout the life, the growth of it. And then when you hit 72 or with your required minimum distribution, it's based on a life expectancy calculator. So it's all ran by IRS government restrictions. And you have to start withdrawing money. And what it's trying to do is it's trying to put you on a chart where you have to withdraw over your life expectancy. So that way Uncle Sam gets paid.
And as that money comes out, is it taxed as regular income, capital gains? Kind of what's the tax treatment on the money coming out of that traditional IRA?
It's ordinary income. So it's considered taxable income. So it'd be ordinary, it'd be at your tax bracket.
So that's what you're saying with regards to the tax brackets right now where the married couple's paying 24%, I believe is what it said. Essentially, that number is what you're trying to reduce and stay under tax brackets. Is that the game you're trying to play with the traditionals?
You're looking at that game and saying, where am I at and where could it go? I have some clients that I'm currently working with right now, and they truly believe taxes are just going to go up. There's a lot, I mean, COVID crisis, all of this that we're spending a lot of money on. And so they believe taxes will go up. They're in, you know, their mid-30s. And so they are really big on the Roth conversion, and they do partial. They don't do a full amount.
What do you mean by partial?
So partial is you can look at how much you have in there, and you don't have to convert the full amount. You can convert 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, whatever amount you want.
Whatever percentage of the account you want to between 0 and 100.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you can choose a percentage. What we really recommend is when you convert that money, that is considered taxable income for that year. You need to make sure that you have money set aside, cash elsewhere, to pay those taxes, because you're going to have to pay the taxes at the end of the day. And so I think, Dexter, that brings me to kind of like my third bucket. The first bucket was, you know, wealth transfer.
Yep.
The second was believing taxes are higher in retirement, if you truly believe that. And the third thing that I think is really important to consider is kind of where have you been for that year, right? And so we saw a lot of our clients in 2020 looking at their taxable income and saying, wow, due to COVID, I've actually had business losses. And we worked with a client to say, hey, you had business losses. Let's go ahead and convert and do a Roth conversion and use the business losses you had to offset your income, your taxable ordinary income that's coming in from this Roth conversion. Or another one is with older older couples that we've seen in 2020, the CARES Act did not require you to take a required minimum distribution. And so with that, we worked with some of our older couples that had maybe some income elsewhere, didn't need to withdraw from their traditional IRAs. They were going to be in a lower tax bracket, like we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. So being in a lower tax bracket, we went ahead and converted some of their traditional IRA into a Roth at a lower tax bracket.
So what do you mean there by they had a bad business year, so they had a lower income? What makes the Roth conversion more attractive during that year then?
Yeah. So if you have like an S corp, right? So if you're a corporation, let's say you're an individual business owner and you have an S corp and you, unfortunately with COVID, right? Maybe you were an interior designer and so you weren't being able to go over to individuals' houses and redo curtains and drapes and all that fun stuff.
All the things Tyler and I are passionate about.
Yes.
You know me so well.
And so you weren't able to do that, unfortunately. So you had maybe a business loss, right? You had to have some expenses. You had to maybe go ahead and pay some employees. So you actually had a loss that year. So that loss carries through to that individual's tax return.
Mm-hmm.
So as an S corp, it's a pass through, carries to that individual's tax return as a loss. That loss, let's just say it was $100,000. Well, we then have Sally Sue that has $100,000 traditional IRA sitting there. We can go ahead and convert her traditional IRA for $100,000, move it over. So when she goes to do her tax return with her certified public accountant in April, she's going to have $100,000 loss business income. She's going to have $100,000 taxable income from the Roth conversion, nets to zero, no tax impact.
Okay.
And now she's able to now have that $100,000 that was pre-tax dollars continue to earn tax-free.
And so along the same lines, does that same process work well for those retirees, pre-retirees who are kind of between 59 and 72? What's their strategy with kind of running the same play?
I think when we go back to our first bucket, when we're talking about generational wealth, and especially before you have to start taking those required minimum distributions at 72, because that will make your taxable income go higher. It's a perfect another opportunity. I think you have a 10-year period in there, 59 and a half, to 72 that you can start looking at more Roth conversions, especially if you believe that taxes are only going to continue to go up.
And like you said earlier, it doesn't have to be a full. I can kind of do a systematic partial and just kind of chip away at it to some degree. Is that right?
Correct. And I think the big thing too to think about is, and when we started kind of talking at the beginning, there's a lot of different scenarios that go into it. Everybody gets really excited about Roth conversion and, oh yeah, it's a great time to do it. We had a ton of clients in March and April, right, of 2020 of last year, mm-hmm. wanting to go in and do these Roth conversions because the market had gone down, right?
Yep.
We all seen it. We had all lived it. The market's gone down. And so we were taking some bad market losses that were happening. We went ahead and converted clients to Roth conversions. But some clients, maybe that wasn't the right thing to do, right?
So going back to my original question, what is the question where Roth conversion is the wrong answer at that point?
I think Roth conversion can be wrong if it's going to set you into a higher tax bracket. Some clients called us and they wanted to convert the entire amount. So we needed to look at it and say, wait, let's not convert the entire amount. Let's do $50,000 this year. We'll look for another opportunity because if we do the full $100,000, it could put you in the next tax bracket. It can move you from a 24% tax bracket to a 32% tax bracket.
Stacey, is this a conversation that I think lends itself to you and the client and then their CPA, their accountant sitting down and having a conversation? So if that is the case, what's the benefit there? What have you seen maybe from how our team approaches that conversation where we can really help clients when we can sit down, get everybody on the same page?
So I have two live examples. I was working with one of my clients up until pretty much the end of the year, emailing back and forth with that CPA. This business owner was trying to see where their sales were going to be, how much they were going to collect. And we literally were monitoring it up until the end of 2020 to say, what amount can we convert? This client, you know, had 100,000 sitting in their traditional. And so we were working to see what amount can we convert with that CPA. So we were monitoring it through the end of the year. It's really easy for us to do. Not hard at all. And so we were able to do that kind of a last minute. Now, we were having the conversations early in the year. She also went in and bought some business expenses, went ahead and ran those business expenses through. So we know that we can do this Roth conversion. And then next year, she'll be able to know, okay, I've already converted. I had a bad year. COVID was not fun for anybody. Bad year. I made some shining silver lining out of it, right? Mm-hmm. I've converted everything to a Roth conversion. And now going forward in 2021, she'll be able to not have to worry about that. So I think that that's a good example. We have another individual that unfortunately their bonuses didn't get paid. They were in oil and gas. We dealt with them kind of at the end of the year. They were calling. We were kind of monitoring to see. It was a last minute thing. They weren't going to get their bonuses paid. So they actually stayed below the 37% tax bracket. And by doing that, they feel like they're always going to be in the 37, you know, tax bracket, which is your highest tax bracket.
For right now, again, talking about will they change?
Exactly. Will they change? And so for right now, it's the highest tax bracket. They were actually below it. And we converted the amount, the delta that kind of took them above that amount.
That bucket filling strategy
yeah.
up to the higher tax bracket.
I hate that sometimes Roth conversion just gets thrown in and it's like, do a Roth conversion. Have you thought about a Roth conversion? But if you really don't understand all of the fact patterns and you're not working with your wealth management advisor and your CPA, holding each other's hands, it should be a three-way call saying, hey, is this right? And is this the perfect opportunity? And let's monitor it. I've had some clients, we're monitoring for another March. We're never going to know when we see another March 2020 until a month later, right? Or 2 months later.
So it sounds like, if I'm hearing you correctly, there are a lot of factors at play here. Is that a fair statement just with regards to your projection on tax rates, your current income, projected income, growth expectations, generational wealth planning, estate planning considerations? I'm sure I forgot some, but is it fair to say there are a lot of factors at play here with regards to whether or not the Roth conversion is correct at all and then getting the timing right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
And again, obviously a self-plug with regards to that's sort of the value that advisors provide with regards to working in conjunction with their CPAs. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. And I think one of the things too that I just wanted to kind of add in is Roth 401ks through your employers mm-hmm. are a great opportunity. So there's a lot of phase outs and those incomes that become higher earners, right? So
yep.
You start phasing out of Roth IRAs when you hit, you know, 200,000 as a married couple. And so you kind of start phasing out. So more and more employers.
So Stacey, when you say phasing out, you mean from a standpoint of a person that makes a certain amount of money wouldn't be able to contribute anymore, correct?
Correct. Yep. So for you to be able to contribute your $6,000 to a Roth IRA, you have to be under a certain tax income that you bring in as a married or a single individual. So a lot of people think, okay, I've phased out. There's no opportunity for me. More and more companies are offering 401k plans that are both traditional and Roth. I encourage, if you're able, to go ahead and do the Roth, max it out at the $19,500.
Yep.
And that allows you to then take factor of it and not have to worry about being phased out for the Roth 6,000 IRA or these Roth conversions and having to come up with all the taxes to convert it.
I appreciate it. I know you're running short on time. You got to get back to work, but I've got a quick question I got to ask you before you go, not related to Roth conversions at all. What is your current cell phone wallpaper?
It is a picture of my oldest daughter, Tegan, and I, and we are at the World Series for the Royals, and they have won the World Series. So, and I have not changed it because it was a great memory, great moment. But yeah, it was the World Series night that the Royals won.
That's awesome. And then do you do the home screen, lock screen different, or are they the same picture?
They are different.
Okay. What's your lock screen then?
Well, lock screen. I hadn't thought about that. That's my lock screen. And then my home screen is Tegan when she was a baby, like 2 months old. So poor Perry, my second child problems. He's not on my phone.
I'm a third kid. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm the middle child. It's fine.
Stacey, thanks for coming by today.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
All opinions expressed by the host and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Full Sail Capital. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. Clients of Full Sail may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast. If you enjoyed today's conversation, please review and subscribe through your preferred podcast platform. Have a great week.